We realize we are the village idiots, but we do have a lot of smart friends who are doing major things. And one is our Hillsborough County Sheriff. Chad Cronister is on the phone with us right now. Sheriff Chad, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
We are good. We're safe, and that's a good thing these days. Everybody keeps asking how you doing, and I'm like alive and safe. And I think that
I agree. You know, as always, are you healthy? Now it's are you safe? And I tell you what, after the last night, how peaceful it was. It wasn't as bad as Saturday and on Sunday. I hate the fact, Orlando. Hate the fact that these rioters, these criminals, have hijacked the voice of these peaceful protesters and their right to peacefully protest. And again, I think I've made it clear we're not going to tolerate in Hillsborough County. For one more second, I'm not going to stand idly by and watch somebody steal another something from a business, hurt one more person, or cause any more damage or construction. Not for one more dollar. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm going to bring a bus, and we're going to take everybody to jail. Again, shame on these rioters for trying to hijack the voice of the people who want to be heard.
I know that you are in the situation where you have to make sure that the people who are wanting to get their voice out are able to be heard, and you have to separate those rabble-rousers and antagonists and everything else. How hard is that to do, to make sure that you can separate those people?
You know, to be honest with you, it's not hard. And you're exactly right. I appreciate people's lawful right to assemble, and I'll do it. I'll shut the roads down. Listen, here's a form of expression. Take advantage of it. I'll keep you safe doing it. But it's easy to tell because it's the ones that want to incite the riot. You can tell. You can see they have bricks in their cars and rocks. And you can tell the way that they get aggravated. This isn't just them being upset. Listen, we're all repulsed. If there's a person living in America that's not repulsed, disgusted by the actions of those four officers, it's worse than what we thought.
Right. Right. It definitely is. We're on with Chad Cronister, our Hillsborough County Sheriff. We put up a post because, like we always do, to say, hey, we're going to have Sheriff Chad on. And we asked anybody who had questions and stuff. And one that was very prevalent was the definition of force and excessive force, like the separation of the two. And I know personally, over the weekend, I saw in different cities different ways of policing, and I saw a lot of physicality, and I wanted to ask you specifically before I let you answer that question. When I saw an officer push a protester, and they flew like it was almost WWE, and I heard the expletive because the audio was on, so they like expletive yelled, pushed the person away, and they hit the ground and they kept walking. And I'm like, I wanted to know, while force is needed to police because you're dealing with criminality, what's the separation between that and excessive?
There's no need for it. You know what I mean? When the way we train with civil unrest is you just continue to move the crowd. There's no need to let these profanities, these insults bother you and get to you. And I tell the deputies, if you get to a point where you feel that you're being that bothered, step off the line. Don't put yourself in that position. I get it. It's hard. Some people find it extremely difficult not to take it personal. But you have to remember, these protesters aren't mad at you personally. They're mad at the badge. They're mad at the fact that halfway across the country, these officers have once again betrayed the trust in the African-American community. And I get it. I'm the first one out front to advocate for change. Let's develop additional solutions. And it's very complex. I think it goes back to having a workforce that reflects the community that you serve. You have to have a more diverse workplace. Since I've become the sheriff, our hiring rate's at 59.8% when it comes in terms of diversity. We're more diverse from top to bottom. Orlando, I can't sit here and pretend to understand what an African-American person goes through in today's America. I'd lose all credibility in the world, but I can certainly surround myself by individuals who do, and then create that trust. Each and every day you have to earn that trust. There's no magic wand that you wave and say, okay, trust has been built. No, you earn it one encounter at a time, and that's why you're seeing one bad encounter every law enforcement individual in the entire country suffers.
Sheriff Cronister, with more videos and pictures coming out of Saturday's riots, does the police department plan on charging looters retroactively from what they did?
I think you'll see some of that. If they can identify those individuals, absolutely. I had someone ask me yesterday, you only arrested 7 people. I said, listen, I would have arrested 507 people, but it was too unsafe. That scene became so violent, so chaotic at the University Square Mall. I'll tell you this, it's the first time in 29 years I've seen it, and I was the sheriff that had to do it. I did an all call. Every available car in Hillsborough County, all 1,100 square miles, wherever you're at, drop what you're doing and come to University Mall. It was then and only then that we were able to bring some peace to this chaotic scene.
It's an insanity that we've never seen before, but what we are seeing also is what brought me to try be your wake-up call yesterday was when I saw the sheriff that was in Michigan, and he had kind of removed his riot gear and joined in. And I noticed that because when you were in here with us, you talked about a lot of things that you've been doing to bring diversity and to kind of lower the – make it easier for people to be able to police their community like you just spoke to. And I wanted to see if breaking away – from those traditional roots of what you've created here locally, what that sheriff has done that you really don't see often, is that kind of change in policing the important part or one of the important parts for us to be able to move into a place where we're trying to get to where there's equality and protection for all, especially black people that are out here that are feeling like there isn't?
100%, you couldn't have said it better. Again, it goes back to building relationships. Trust comes out of building relationships. But more importantly, individuals in the minority communities have to know that they have a voice. They have to know that you're listening. There's nothing more important to every single dynamic in our population than know that you're listening. And that's what I continue to tell people. I'm listening. I hear you. You don't have to turn to violence. Don't go loot and damage the very businesses that we're trying to build up, a lot of them minority-owned, that are there to serve the very community where you live.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we had questions. Davi, you had a list of them over here. Let's give Sheriff Chad some of them so we could try and step on those.
LJ from our Facebook post asked, what steps can we do to make a real difference here locally?
I think it's get involved. You know, get involved. There's so many people that in today's America, if it doesn't bother me, we have our blinders on. You know, we go through our normal routine. It's like being on a hamster wheel. But we don't get involved until it affects us, regardless, or our family or our loved ones. Get involved. There's so many different community action groups. There's so many different groups out there. And again, you hear a lot of people talk about get educated when it comes time to vote. Know who you're voting for. You have to know individual policies and what the different local leaders are, elected officials, politicians. Know what their beliefs are. Know who you're supporting. Has nothing to do with the RD behind the name. Make sure you know what they stand for. That's the only way we're going to truly affect change and make a difference and come up with those solutions. Be a part. You know, I did a sit-down the other day with Dave Bautista and Titus O'Neill, and it was great. And one of the great things I heard them say is uncomfortable. Have these uncomfortable conversations, and no one wants to have them. But now you'll go sit at Tampa Bay Stadium and watch the Bucks and be hot. Or you'll go somewhere and be cold. You don't mind being uncomfortable like that. Why are you worried about being uncomfortable, having difficult conversations that can really, truly affect some change?
Wow. That's incredible. All right, let's see. You got another one?
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, this is a personal question. And this is in regards to the death of George Floyd, because there were other police officers at the scene, and they're getting heavily criticized for not stepping in. So I was wondering if there's any policies that are issued for officers when they see policemen using unnecessary force?
There absolutely is. We have a failure to act policy. If we have a deputy on scene and someone's doing something outside training guidelines, outside of policy, something criminal, something egregious, and they don't do something, they're equally as responsible. And I think that's why you saw the police chief fire all 4 of them. We're right on the spot. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe there's going to be criminal charges coming for the other ones for failing to act, to allow that negligence to occur. I think that's coming. The easy one was the indictment coming down for the murder. And I commend them. They did it in less than 24 hours. Our criminal justice system doesn't work that fast. But I commend them and applaud them for doing it. And I think the charges are coming for just the other three. And I hope, hope and pray justice is served on all four of them.
Absolutely. Nice. There was a question that came in yesterday when we mentioned we were trying to get you on, and they were asking. It was a very we had a conversation about it, but I was like, I'm kind of more comfortable if I have Sheriff Chad on answering this, because a person asked, how do you defend yourself against the police? And they were speaking to people who are bad actors and bad apples on the police force, not the force. But when somebody's acting out of pocket, what do you do? And I explained it like when the adage where they say people are arguing and you can't tell who's wrong when two people are yelling at each other. If we're all looking at it, we see a law enforcement officer and a civilian going at it. We're going to think this person is a criminal. We're going to think they're attacking the police. But if they're defending themselves, how do they do that and remain safe? Is there a way?
Yeah, there is. You know, there's a time and place. You know, and you always see when there's a chaotic scene and someone wants their voice heard. You got to let the police, whoever the law enforcement agency is, let them gain control. That's the most important thing. They have to gain control of that scene. Once they gain control, hey, listen, then it's time to have those discussions. And if your voice isn't heard, that's why we have some great internal affairs sections within our department. And I have to tell you what, the use of force complaints are down. The number of complaints against officers are down. But people have to know that there's a zero tolerance. And Orlando, it's created with the culture that you create. It has to start at the top. The deputies, officers, whoever it is, they have to know that there's a zero tolerance policy. And they only know that when you make an example and you set that line in the sand that, listen, police misconduct, police brutality, excessive use of force, whatever it is, isn't going to be tolerated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got another question.
We got a question off of Instagram. Jonte wanted to know, what is your and the department's stance on officers using chokeholds?
They're 100% prohibited from using them. That's not a technique that we teach. Just like that knee across the neck, that's not something we teach. If someone would deploy that kind of type of force, and let's call what it is, the officers out there deploy deadly force when there wasn't a reason to deploy deadly force. That's what we're talking about.
Right. He was actually apprehended, so it wasn't
no
any need for
chokehold. You know, that's for wrestling. That's for WWE. That's the place for that. Or MMA. Not police. Not law enforcement. As these techniques have no place in today's law enforcement.
I appreciate you coming on with us. We have Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister on right now. I wanted to read you something. Because I've seen a few instances where the officers, the deputies that were at Wiregrass were being prayed with by a citizen who was at the mall. And we saw people hugging. We've seen officers take a knee. This person, who's a very close friend of the show, Nate from Burns, reached out to me and said, thank you for this morning. Yesterday, I cried with an officer at a stoplight. The oddest thing, but one of the most amazing moments in my life. And I said, did you get pulled over and y'all cried? What the hell? And he said, no, I pulled up next to him to thank him. And he rolled down his window and he said, we'll get through this together. And we both started to cry. And he said, I've never cried with the popo before, but in this time right now, it really felt real. And I shared that. And many people have been like, that touched them. What are you seeing from people who are hurting, but also realizing that this isn't an enemy of the force, but an enemy of bad actors?
I think it's going to bring us closer than ever, too. I really do. I think there's going to be new relationships that are established. I have to tell you what, at 1:30 in the morning when I was at University Square Mall and I saw them burn down the Champs and I saw them burn down restaurants who are hanging on by a thread trying to reopen after COVID-19, I sat there and I was overwhelmed with emotion, watching every deputy sheriff in the county burning the rubber off their tires to get there. And I'm just looking, and I was heartbroken. I lost all faith, and I'm like, listen, this isn't Tampa. We're better than this. And fast forward till Sunday morning, mid-afternoon, I went out by the university area and I pulled up the Champs and there was an Asian restaurant there and some other establishments, and I saw a group of volunteers and they had crossed over the yellow tape and they went in and they were helping the business owners clean up. And I walked over, what's happening? They're like, oh, we're cleaning up. And I tell you what, they wanted to pray. And we prayed together. And some of them wanted some photos. I'm like, yeah, of course. Let's take some photos. But, you know, I started at the beginning of the show. I talked about, listen, law enforcement is not going to tolerate this destructive behavior. But I'm going to tell you what. It's when I started realizing then my faith has been restored. Our community's not going to tolerate this either. They're saying the same thing. Listen, we're done with this. This isn't fixing anything. You know, destroying people's property, hurting one another, stealing. This isn't the solution. This isn't going to fix anything.
Wow.
We got a message from Jeannie, and she wanted to know if you would be willing to sit down with the leadership of the Black Lives Matter Tampa chapter to discuss what can be done locally.
Listen, I sit down and talk with anybody. I've been doing it for 2.5 years. It's people that haven't had a voice. We never had representation on the NAACP board. We do now. You know, we have minority councils that we work with. We sit down every month. Hey, listen, is there anything that's problematic? What can we do to be better? I'll sit down and talk to any group that's willing to sit down and have a civil conversation, because I'm not a know-it-all. Right. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's develop a solution. How can we make it better? Let Tampa Bay lead the way on how tomorrow is going to be better than today.
I do appreciate that, because we have a lot of people who, as you understand and you've seen through the 29, 30 some odd years that you've been in law enforcement, that they've seen enough where they feel disjointed from the process. They feel like they are underrepresented or not heard enough. So the hurt is part of this whole exchange, and that's a part that we're trying to make sure that they get a voice, but also that we keep it safe. And is there anything that you would like to share that we haven't broached as far as something that you want to say to the community, because you have their ear right now?
And I think you said it beautifully. You know, I'm listening. I will always listening. You have a voice. You have a seat at the table. Let's come up with some real solutions. Let Tampa Bay lead the way and show the rest of America how it's supposed to be done.
Sheriff Cronister, I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Like I said, when I missed you yesterday and you called right after saying, "Hey, man, I was asleep. Can I get on tomorrow?" I'm like, that's somebody. And I tell people, I'm like, he's not running from it. I salute that. So I do appreciate it. And I want you guys to stay safe.
You guys, too. I'm always available. I appreciate everything that you guys do. Stay safe, and let's get back together soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.